Welcome to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
It's sure good to have you here with us. Whether you're a regular visitor or it's your first time in this old camp house, we want you to feel at home. Pour yourself a cup of coffee and settle in that old chair over there. We saved it just for you. Front door to the camp house is brought to you by Fortiflora from Purina Veterinary Diets. It's America's number one canine probiotic. Keep it handy. Keep it in the fridge. It works. Order Fortiflora from Chewy.com. They'll bring it right to your door. You might not own a deer rifle, shotgun, or pistol, or maybe you hunt and shoot a lot. And even if you haven't been in a long time, I'm willing to bet that there's a fishing pole out in the garage or the shed someplace. Heck, you might have a 20-foot bass boat rigged out and ready to go to the lake, I don't know. My point here is that the Lord blessed us with incredibly beautiful places and filled the land and the waters with fascinating and marvelous critters for all of us to enjoy. Then he put us at the top of the food chain to care for these precious gifts and enjoy them on the table as well. You know, that's serious business, and we take it seriously. If not for the science-based conservation model that dates back to some pretty smart names like Roosevelt and Leopold, our wild places and wildlife as we know and enjoy them today simply wouldn't exist. Did you know that before these men and others built our current conservation through hunting and fishing model, the turkey and white-tailed deer were near extinction? It's very true. It's also true that hunting those species not only saved their lives, but promoted and supports still to this day growth of those herds and flocks, along with every other creature that swims in our lakes, ponds, rivers, and seas, sings in our trees, and creeps across the earth. Because of the hunter or the guy that buys a fishing license, your family can enjoy Yellowstone National Park this summer, or Great Smoky Mountain National Park, or any of the more than 150 million acres of protected parks, refuges, and wetlands across our great America. It's the hunter and the fisherman that has taken on the task of funding these great things for all the world to enjoy. And I believe that God Himself smiles on that work. Here at the Dallas Safari Club and Big Billy Kender Outdoors, we celebrate those wild things and places, the true work that conserves them, and the next generations that will enjoy them. We also talk about the journey in pursuit of them, the tools needed to harvest them, and the healthiness of them on the table. If you enjoy the stillness of a hidden away cabin under a fresh blanket of noise-suppressing snow, the excitement of a distant bugle on a frosty high country morning, the smile on your kid's face with a fish on the end of that string, a crackling fire, or a front porch fan, you're in the right place. We meet right here at this old camp house at this time every week, along with our friends, and we count you among them. Welcome to this camp house at Big Billy Kender Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club. Hey, you really don't have to take my word for it that hunting and fishing is true conservation. Listen to this guy, former president, one of our greatest ever, Theodore Roosevelt.
Mr. Kender, I'm delighted to be on the radio program with you and your listeners throughout the country and throughout the world.
You were at the forefront of this conservation model that we have here in North America, and it's worked so well for all of these years.
Indeed. The species would overpopulate if not occasionally culled by the hunter. Killing a buck does a great deal to help relieve the stress on the population and indeed limit the effects of a disease or famine that hit the herds throughout the country. The big game of this country, the big game of the other continents, has been preserved by the hunter, who is a conservationist, who ensures that the habitat is maintained for the wildlife. And so very often the practical issues of our public policies in this country, it's indeed the taxes and the excise fees on the equipment, the guns and the ammunition, the fishing equipment of the hunter and the angler, that provides the funding to preserve the habitat and fund the programs of the federal and state governments in making sure that our wildlife is healthy and prolific. Of course, Yellowstone, our first national park, where I camped for 2 weeks during my presidency and did no hunting, but instead observed the great herd of elk and bison. We had that model taken by other countries throughout the world, especially in Africa, where the big game is now preserved through wildlife management and conservation. For me and Gifford Pinchot, our national forester, another founding member of Boone and Crockett, the nation's and the world's first fair hunting and conservation organization, we were able to spread the idea of conservation, that our natural resources and our wildlife were not infinite, that indeed we must do all that we can to support the preservation of the wildlife and its habitat. So I'm glad that this model of scientific management has been embraced not only in this country, but throughout the world, that our children and our grandchildren might know the great adventures of the outdoors, whether they choose to go hunting or simply camping and hiking. The outdoors are a restorative place for the soul.
Former U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt. He's been dead for 100 years. How did we just do that? Hey, this corner of the Camp House is brought to you by a great product from the trusted name Purina called Calming Care. Do you have an overactive dog? The overbarker? The overjumper? Always on people? Calming Care very gently over time calms your dog. Talk to your vet about Calming Care.
This is Jimmy Houston, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Hi, I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director of Dallas Safari Club, and I want to welcome you to our show here on SiriusXM Channel 131. With humble beginnings, Dallas Safari Club began to grow through the years, as did our efforts to conserve wild things in wild places. Our membership has stretched beyond Dallas, Texas, and now reaches around the globe. As we have continued to conserve precious resources, teach future outdoorsmen and women about our outdoor heritage, and stand strong to protect your right to hunt, fish, and enjoy the shooting sports, many thousands have seen the importance of our work and joined us at DSC. Safari can be an overnight camping trip at a state park, a hike through a conservation area, or a hunt on a foreign continent. We at DSC celebrate safari near and far, and our hope is that you will see the importance of this work and become a part of it with us. To learn more about our mission and for membership information, I'd encourage you to spend a few minutes with us at biggame.org.
Did you see Mark Daniels Jr. catch 70 pounds of Lake Oahe, South Dakota smallmouth bass during the Bassmaster Elite Series? I did. I watched him from Jim's boat where we were busy catching those delicious Oahe walleye. The folks at Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort on Lake Oahe, same place that the elites stayed and launched, prepared them for us every night in their award-winning restaurant and bar. They do walleye 7 different ways, all terrific, but the beer batter is my favorite. Oh, and don't miss the USDA Prime Steaks, aged for tenderness and hand-cut on site. From the restaurant, it's every bit of a 60-second walk to your lakeside cabin with a sprawling front porch, big-screen TV, and private bedroom and bathrooms. Time for a little rest, because Jim will pick us up again at the breakfast table tomorrow morning, and we'll head back out to world-class Oahe walleye and smallmouth fishing. Ask David and Angela about private charter jet service for your group to Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort, springcreeksd.com.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let's begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak? Does your name rhyme with Auld Beagle? Do you dart in front of cars? Here's a tough one. Do you have plumage? Do you rub your body against things to mark them? Do you have webbed feet? No, I mean like a... Were you hatched? Do you have fur? I'm not talking back hair. Does your boat fly south for the winter with the other boats? Regardless of how you answer, you need to be licensed and registered because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
Wing shooting in Argentina is an activity that must be experienced rather than explained. Dove are considered to be a plague in the area, so there are no bag limits, and there are no seasons to hunt them.
We've got 20 million birds on the roost, and they're there 365 days a year. They're there every day, all day. They fly 8 hours a day, every day.
At Cordoba Doves, you'll enjoy delicious food, exceptional hospitality, beverages in the field, your own personal bird boy.
Bird boy's job is to pour shells in your bag when you're going through a box every 5 minutes and keep count of the birds that you've shot and to bring you something to drink every few minutes. At the end of the day, we pick up all the hulls and pick up the birds, but you can't send him out to pick up birds at 600 or 800 times a day.
Experience the very best that Argentina has to offer through Cordoba Doves. Contact the U.S. Representative Lane Balky at CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caseria. Can see me in Argentina.
Big Billy Kinder Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club. Now that's good camp house company.
Every single day, we are working to protect your right to hunt, fish, and shoot. Learn more about the DSC at biggame.org.
Before the break, you heard my friend Theodore Roosevelt. Well, actually, you heard my friend Joe Wiegand. Joe and I have worked together several times. He is the consummate professional, and he is the world's premier Theodore Roosevelt repriser. You think he sounds like Teddy Roosevelt? You ought to see him. And I would urge you to take a look at him and book him into your school to come address the kids. He's quite the historian. He has reprised Theodore Roosevelt in film and television and on stage constantly. Lives just outside of Colorado Springs, Colorado, but you can catch him this summer with his daily matinee performances in Medora, North Dakota, the host city and gateway to Theodore Roosevelt National Park. He'll be performing there this summer through September, so make Theodore Roosevelt National Park a part of your summer plans, and make sure you see Theodore himself, well, actually Joe Wiegand, playing the part of President Theodore Roosevelt in Medora, North Dakota. Real easy to find Joe and the Medora, North Dakota show. Just go to Medora, M-E-D-O-R-A, Medora.com. Did you hear about these two brothers down in Australia? One of them 46 years old, the other 48, and they were out on a boat, a little bitty boat, off of the coast of Australia with their 46-year-old buddy when a marlin hit their boat, speared the two brothers, speared them. They were seriously injured and now recovering after a marlin attack. Crazy. Got that from the Fishing Wire. You ought to check them out if you don't already. The Hunting Wire, too. Happy shrimpers in Alabama today because the season is open. Alabama state waters open for shrimping beginning today. Inside waters not permanently closed by law or regulation, including Mobile Bay, Bon Secure Bay, Mississippi Sound, Perdido Bay, Arnica Bay, Wolf Bay, and Little Lagoon. They're out there going full speed right now. You can apply for quota hunts in Georgia beginning today. Quota hunts allow a predetermined number of hunters on a particular area. And according to John Bowers, the chief of the Game Management Section of the Wildlife Resources Division in Georgia, these hunts provide exceptional hunting opportunities. Today is the first day that you can apply. Hunters in Minnesota will have an increased opportunity to hunt elk this fall and winter in northwestern Minnesota. Additional antlerless permits available along with a new December hunting season. Hunters can apply for one of the 27 elk tags through Friday, June 14th. Online, in person, by telephone, lots of ways to get it done. New Mexico offering enhancement licenses right now. All proceeds from enhancement hunts are used solely for habitat enhancement, conservation, research, and management projects in New Mexico for the specific species raffled. Example, there's one deer authorization that'll be raffled with the assistance of the Mule Deer Foundation. Those tickets must be purchased by June 13th, the drawing on June 14th. One bull elk authorization will be raffled too with the assistance of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. That's coming up June 4th. That's this coming Tuesday. and two authorizations will be raffled by the department with assistance of the New Mexico chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation. One for Desert Bighorn Sheep, one for Rocky Mountain Bighorn Sheep. Those tickets must be purchased before June 20th. I have details about all this stuff at bbkoradio.com. Come check it out. Applications for the Black Hills of South Dakota, West River, East River, Muzzleloader, Custer State Park, and National Refuge deer hunting seasons are up for grabs. Deadline for the first drawing, June 14 for paper, June 19 online. And in Arizona, they're accepting applications for the 2019 hunt permit tags issued through the draw process for deer, fall turkey, javelina, bighorn sheep, fall bison, and sandhill crane. Entry deadline, Tuesday, June 11. How about these guys at Bethel University? All they do is catch big green bass. Cole Floyd, Carter McNeil, they led the 2019 Boat U.S. Collegiate Bass Fishing Series National Championship wire to wire. And won it for the second year in a row, first team ever to win back-to-back in this tournament in its 14-year history. Hey, Cole, Carter, congratulations. You know, at the Bassmaster Classic, they only hand out one trophy. What are you two going to do then? What I'm trying to say is you both have a really bright career ahead of you. That championship tournament was presented by Bass Pro Shops, hosted on Pickwick and Wilson Lakes. 400 anglers in this two-day test. The Fishing Wire had that story, too. I like this idea. Down in Missouri, they have opened up their state parks for free camping to Missouri residents that have been displaced by tornadoes and floods this spring. You can stay there up to 30 days. No cost. The IGFA does this every year. The International Game Fish Association, they have an online auction. It's almost here. On June 7th, this coming Friday, the IGFA celebrates its 80th anniversary. On June 3rd, that's this coming Monday, they're going to open an online auction at igfa.org that has, I mean, if you love to fish, everything. It has everything, including incredible boats. I've seen a little preview, and you don't want to miss this. igfa.org. The online bidding starts Monday, ends Sunday the 9th, 1 week later. This makes the 11th year that they've had the Life Jacket Exchange Program in Arizona. The Arizona Game and Fish Department helps watergoers prepare for a safe time out on the lake, the river, the stream, the whatever, by offering multiple life jacket exchange events over the coming weeks. As a matter of fact, today they're at Willow Springs Lake. Next Saturday they'll be at Antelope Point at Lake Powell. The Life Jacket Exchange Program allows people with an old, worn-out life jacket to swap it for a brand new one. Last year, the department's Boating Safety Education Program exchanged 1,520 of the life-saving jackets. They will start rolling in on Monday. On Tuesday, they'll enjoy a dock party. On Wednesday, they'll make sure that they're registered, get their teams ready to go, and then enjoy the mandatory captain's meeting at 6 p.m. On Thursday, there's a boat parade. And on Friday, let the tournament begin. The 2019 Mississippi Gulf Coast Billfish Classic, fishing out of Biloxi. If you're in the area next Sunday, June 9, the award ceremony's at 10:30 a.m. at the Golden Nugget Grand Ballroom. Hey, is your dog going to travel with you on summer vacation? You know, days in the car can mean GI upset. Anything can. Changes in routine, changes in water can all affect the GI system of our dogs. Start Fortiflora with your dog just a few days before your trip, every day throughout, and then for a few days after you return home to ensure a strong and steady GI system and no stain on the carpet in the back of the station wagon there. Fortiflora. Fortiflora. Order it from Chewy.com. Congratulations, Captain Johnny Johnson, promoted to Lieutenant Colonel a couple of weeks ago with the Georgia Department of Natural Resources Law Enforcement Division, Northeast Region. Lieutenant Colonel Johnny Johnson. That has a nice ring to it, Johnny. U.S. Secretary of the Interior David Bernhardt announced the other day that visitor spending in communities near national parks last year resulted in a $40.1 billion with a B benefit to the nation's economy and supported 329,000 jobs. What a fish! 73-year-old Keith Miller of Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania, was fishing Lake Erie on May 12th, and after a 15-minute tug-of-war, eventually boated the new state record 31-pound lake trout. Congratulations, Keith. That's awesome. Hey, don't lose your head. If you catch coho salmon in Lake Ontario, the DEC and the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry want those fish heads from those coho salmon. Some kind of study they're doing. Hang on to your head and contact the Lake Ontario Fisheries Unit. Time to make a little run to the coffee pot, but when I come back, we're headed for Botswana with Larry Wysoon.
Hey, everybody, it's Justin Lucas. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Billy, how'd you get that chip out of my graph? Give that back.
Hey guys, don't lose that bragfish today. We've all done it. A weak hook set, a late sweep with the rod, giant jumpers that throw that heavy jig back in our faces. The folks at Trapper Tackle have solved the lost fish issue. For the first time in forever, there's meaningful innovation in the fish hook. The Trapper Tackle iCast Best in Show winner 2 years back-to-back has a unique patented design that locks your catch until you have her in your hands. It's this one-of-a-kind locking system that keeps your plastics in place, cast after cast after cast, too. Trapper Tackle makes hooks for all finesse, live bait, and plastics presentations. Treble hooks for your hard baits, too. When you first take a look at Trapper Tackle hooks, you'll probably scratch your head. When you pose up with that behemoth that didn't get away, you'll smile ear to ear. Trapper Tackle and Bill Lewis have partnered a legend with a state-of-the-art hook design to produce the Rattle Trapper. You need some of those, too. Get them at TrapperTackle.com. Lock them in and load the boat. TrapperTackle.com. Outdoors men and women like to be well-equipped. We also travel extensively and need restaurants, fuel, and rooms. And no matter where the fisherman or hunter travels in the U.S. or Canada, BBKO Radio is there. This just might be the perfect spot for you to tell us about your products and services. The BBKO Radio Network, an affordable way to reach every farm, road, and city with your message. To learn more, come see us at bbkoradio.com.
At Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas, we teach the Bible, nothing more or less. The simple truth of God's love for us, even though we are all sinners in need of His grace. He supplied that grace through His Son Jesus so that none would perish but have everlasting life. Come worship with us at 10:15 Sunday mornings on Litzy Road in Roanoke or in the boat or deer blind at csbiblechurch.org.
Do you love to crappie fish like I do? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to invite you and your family to the Crappie Expo in Hot Springs, Arkansas for crappie fanatics like you. There will be over 90 crappie fishing manufacturers and dealers selling and showing today's top crappie fishing products in the world. Get your crappie gear up to date at the Crappie Expo. Come see the top 100 crappie teams competing in the first $100,000 Mr. Crappie Invitational Tournament on Lake Hamilton, October 4th through 6th at the Game and Fish Boat Ramp facility. The world's largest crappie fry will be held Saturday, October the 5th, starting at 11 a.m. till we run out of fillets. Bring your family, enjoy fried crappie, french fried taters, hush puppies, free for everyone. Be sure to get your tickets at the Crappie Expo. Special thanks to Lucas Oil, Strike King, Lou's, Bullet Weights, Ranger Boats, B&M Poles, Pure Fishing, RV Cajun Cookers, Horns Outdoors, and H2O Sports. Crappie Expo!
Don't miss it, October 4th through 6th in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
The Dallas Ecological Foundation is now the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, or OTF. Hi, I'm Scott McClure with the OTF, and I wanted to let you know that aside from the name change, we are the same organization, a 501c3, doing the same important work for the future of American youth in the hunting, fishing, and shooting sports. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is the wheel that keeps outdoor adventures moving in our schools. Outdoor Adventures is in hundreds of schools across America, teaching kids in junior highs and high schools great things like archery, boating safety, camping, and hunting. It's a legitimate part of the school curriculum. Outdoor Adventures is a PE course for kids that just don't have an interest in school or athletics or team sports. They're not involved. The life lessons learned and the lives that light up when learning these outdoor skills are real, and the stories are fantastic. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is opening new insights to youth through public schools. If you'd like to donate or see outdoor adventures in your local school, the first step is to visit our website, DallasEcologicalFoundation.org.
If your hunting blind isn't comfortable enough to keep you in the field all day, you're hunting from the wrong blind and missing a ton of opportunity for success. Does your blind keep the wind and rain on the outside and have drip rails on the windows to keep your view clear? How about friction hinges on the windows? Just lift and let go. Do you have a 360 view of your country without opening a door? Quiet marine-grade carpet and locking aluminum doors? Insulated flooring? These features are all standard on lightweight, tough as a hammer, Dillon hunting blinds. If your terrain calls for a view above the mesquite flats or other obstructions, check out Dillon's safe and strong platforms with handrails and porches for the occasional stretch. Dillon blinds are available in sizes that fit your situation to a T, with windows suited for rifle, bow, or both. Lightweight and durable fiberglass blinds from Dillon are at DillonManuf.com. Stay longer. Shoot more deer in a Dillon.
You folks come in off the porch. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is back, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
Thousands of kids and parents enjoy the outdoors today because we took the time to teach them yesterday. We are the DSC, and we are at biggame.org.
Big news from Botswana this week is they have decided to reopen hunting activity in their country after a five-year closure. I have my friend, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon, on the telephone on that Big Billy Kinder Outdoors Trot Line with me now, and we want to look at this from a biologist's point of view. Larry, welcome to the show.
Seems like the world is being filled with at least some good news.
Well, that's exactly right. Terrific news coming out this week out of Botswana. After 5 years of no hunting, the government there has reversed their decision and said, yeah, you know what, that's probably a good idea. Let's bring hunting back. Why, Larry? Why did they need to bring hunting back to Botswana?
I think there's so many different things that are involved. I mean, for one thing, it's an economic thing with all the local folks and the ability to gather food that way and the dollars that come in to help with schools and help with water wells and all those other kind of things. I think, too, there's been quite a few conflicts between the human population and the wild populations as the elephants have continued to grow and even with some of the large predators that are there as well, too. So, I mean, and then you look at it from a perspective of perpetuating the species. It also got into the situation where when they removed hunting, it did away with the anti-poaching patrols and poaching became rampant in certain areas. And so they all of a sudden realized that, hey, the hunters are the good guys when it comes to conservation, that if we want to have these animals in the future and to some extent protect our people and protect our land, we have got to have hunting. And of course, I applaud them for what they did because in my book, and I know a lot of other people's book, at least those people who really truly care about wildlife, they made the exactly right decision.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, in that part of the world, how closely do they follow our North American model of wildlife conservation?
Well, I think they're learning. They're seeing what we've been able to do here in the States with that model, and I think they're coming to the realization, and I think a lot of other countries like Botswana, if they're not already there, will come to that realization as well, too, that if you have that kind of model in place, everything benefits. The habitat benefits, the wildlife benefits, and the people that enjoy that wildlife, whether it's from a visual perspective or a consumer perspective in terms of hunting and hunting for food, that everything benefits. And I think as we move into the future and more people become aware of that North American model, we're going to see that be kind of we're kind of the leading edge, and I think that's going to continue into different parts of the world now as well.
You betcha. Hey, I'm sitting here racking my brain trying to think back why in the world a place like Botswana ever stopped hunting in their country. Was it anti-pressure?
You know, I think it had something to do with that as well, and probably more so than anything else. I mean, some of those folks that are anti-hunting, they unfortunately, they rely on emotions. They don't rely on good scientific data. And I can tell you, I've been in parts of Botswana and some of the national parks And as a wildlife biologist looking at habitat, the worst degradation I have ever seen of any kind of habitat is where there were tremendous amounts of elephants. I mean, you know, you think in terms of, man, they should be very efficient. Well, they'll push over one tree and eat one limb out of it and then move over to the next one and do the same thing and just continue destroying. In those areas where we saw that habitat degradation, whereas a few years before there were that many elephants, you know, there were all kinds of different small mammals, many, many birds, all the different antelope species. And when I looked at it, there were elephants and nothing else because there wasn't any food, there wasn't any habitat available for the songbirds or anything having to do that really needed anything to eat. You know, the elephants were there and that's it. So, I mean, I think that too had a part of in the reason that they're coming back is with the hunting is that they're realizing that, hey, you need to, in today's world, you need to manage, preserve, no, conserve, yes, conserve in terms of wise use of the habitat and of the animals. And that's where they are right now. And hopefully you know, it's a horrible lesson that's been learned, but hopefully they've learned it very well, and I think they have, and I think we'll see hunting become even more popular there again as it was in the past, and as we do that, we'll see these other populations start to build again and the habitat start recovering, and poaching goes down, and again, the local people benefit financially, they benefit from food, and their jobs available, and all those kind of good things are happening just because of the fact that they brought hunting back.
Yep, I hope the non-hunting world will take note of this and pay attention to this over the next 10 years. Keep an eye on Botswana. See what happens to them economically. See what happens to their wildlife, their habitat. Everything is about to flourish in Botswana because of this decision. Larry Wysoon, along with Blake Barnett, co-host of DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon. When can we see your glorious face on television, Larry?
Well, I appreciate that. We're on year-round on the Pursuit Channel. We air 3 to 4 times a week. Our primary airing time is Thursday night, 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central, and then there are three or four other times that we appear on throughout the week, and they can either go to the Pursuit Channel and find out when those times are, or look us up on Facebook at DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon, and we'll have those times available there for them as well, too. Really appreciate the people watching.
You betcha. Hey, all you and Blake do really is nap and hunt. There's no work involved, is it, right? Isn't that the life of a television hunter?
You're exactly right, and I wish that were the case. I'm actually working on our podcast right now that we're getting ready to release here very shortly, and then Blake is at this moment up in Canada hunting black bear and huffing and puffing going up and down mountains, I would assume. I got a pretty good feeling that those where he's hunting, I know the country, and it's pretty steep. There are a lot of black bear, but you got to really walk for them, so I think he is in that huffing and puffing mode right now.
Very good. Larry, always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll see you down the road somewhere real soon.
Looking forward to it, Billy. Thank you very much.
I also want to talk to another friend of mine with Chifuti Safaris and DSC's Tracks Across Africa TV, Dave Fulson. If it's happening globally, hunting-wise, Dave's got his finger on the pulse. Dave, welcome back. This is really good news, not only for hunters worldwide, but for Botswana's wildlife, their economy, their community.
Billy, that is exactly right. You know, the entire international hunting community, especially those of us that are interested in, you know, Africa, celebrated the decision of President Masisi and his cabinet, and really the people of Botswana, the citizens of Botswana got to weigh in on this decision. They had a thriving safari business, which was a windfall and had a wondrous financial impact on the rural citizens of Botswana, and that came to a close when President Khama, very ill-advisedly, closed down, put a suspension on all hunting in Botswana. However, the new president, President Masisi, is a proponent of the conservation through hunting model, Billy, and he's listened to his citizens. He's seen the detrimental effect that the ban or the suspension has had on the citizens, had on the elephants in particular. There's been more elephants killed by poachers since the hunting community shot down than would have ever been taken by legal, tightly control and ethical sport hunting.
And that's a point that the non-hunter probably doesn't know and needs to know if you're concerned about wildlife and wildlife around the globe. Well, let's get to the way too early obvious question. When can folks, do you think, start booking their trip to Botswana to hunt again? When will it be available?
Well, Billy, there's a lot of things happening, even as we speak, with outfitters. They're going to be meeting with the Ministry of Tourism. They will be tendering bids for different hunting blocks and hunting quota. We will be constantly reporting. And I would say somebody interested in staying up to date on this, be sure to get on the social media pages of both Dallas Safari Club and the DSC Foundation, because we will be doing a lot of updates on this situation as it starts to take shape.
Dave Fulson with DSC's Tracks Across Africa TV and Chafuti Safaris.
Good morning, everybody. This is Michael Waddell. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Your kids and their friends have never had a birthday party like this, and they'll never forget a Cinnamon Creek Ranch birthday party either.
We do a lot of birthday parties. We have two birthday party rooms, $300, and that's for 10 kids. But we provide them with hot dogs, popcorn, drinks, and they get to come here for 2.5 hours, and we have two instructors that usually stay in here with them the entire time. Show all the kids basically how to shoot. We have different size bows, but yeah, it's a blast. And then we usually kind of split the time up. We'll have them come in here for a little while. They'll eat cake and their popcorn and hot dogs, and then we'll take them out in the arena and let them play archery tag. We provide everything, so they're not required to bring anything at all.
With a complete lunch and dinner menu, the world's largest indoor archery facility, private birthday and conference rooms, the most knowledgeable archery staff on planet Earth, and a turnkey, all-equipment-provided experience for your corporate event, family reunion, or birthday party. We've built an incredible facility with you in mind at CinnamonCreekRanch.com. The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the mantle can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with 6 full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too. From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and Norfolk Rivers at Norfolk Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife,
quail, pheasants, native white-tail deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups. And we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, right. These people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit joshuacreek.com.
Glad you're back. We still have some big fish to fry here at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
A helicopter flies over African bush with the DSC logo on it. When poachers are busted, they can clearly see who caught them. We are the DSC. We are at biggame.org.
And the DSC is responsible for busting lots of poachers in Africa and here in the United States as well. Big supporters of our wardens and their work. That's Corey Mason, Executive Director of Dallas Safari Club. We're going to be talking to him a little bit later, but right now I have my friend Tom Dockin on the Big Billy Kinder Outdoors Trot Line. Tom, 4th of July is coming up, and boy, that is the perfect time to gun-shy a young dog if we don't take some precautions.
Oh, boy. You know, it's kind of one of those game-changers and game-enders, actually, in a lot of cases. Unfortunately, 4th of July has probably ruined more potential hunting dogs than any other, you know, one day out of the year. And you know, there's certain things that you can recover from dog training wise. I mean, I always tell people you can do a bad job with sit or come and still have a hunting dog. You can't do a bad job with introduction to loud noises and still have a hunting dog in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and if we get excited and it's 4th of July and we want to make the kids happy and we've bought that big package of fireworks that we're going to set off, we can be halfway through that and realize, oh, no, I'm probably too close to the kennel and those pups over there. We need to put some forethought into where our dogs are going to be when all of these fireworks start going off.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it's not often, you know, self-inflicted wounds, so to speak, where you're doing it yourself. It's, you know, do you really know what's going on in your neighborhood or going on that's out of your control as well? So, it's just something that you have to be super careful with. And you know, almost, you know, to the point where you go, all right, I'm going to be real anal about making sure that this puppy is protected from these noises. And you just can't take that chance. You just can't. So not only what are you doing on 4th of July, but know what your surroundings are going to be like as well. And expect the worst so you know how to prepare for it and keep your new puppy, you know, protected from it.
Tom, and you're going to hate this question, but if it's too late, if it happened early in our dog's life and now he's a year old and he's really scared of loud noise, how do we go about working with that dog out in the field to maybe bring him back a little bit?
Well, what's happened there is that fireworks in general, and you could do this with the gun as well by doing the wrong gun introduction. There's two types of introductions to noises. There's a tolerance introduction, and then there's a positive reinforcement introduction. Tolerance means, I just hope the dog tolerates this and doesn't get scared. And that could be in the form of, you know, say, well, I'm just going to take my dog to the trap range and have him in the parking lot and then gradually try to work him closer to the guns. He doesn't know what the noise is or why it's there, and all you're doing is crossing your fingers and hoping that he tolerates the noise. And sure, there's been people that's how they introduce their dogs to the gun. And I always say, well, you know, you rolled the dice and you won that time. I just don't want to roll the dice. And that's not what I'm going to do. So positive reinforcement, what we would do, and this is with any dog now, but we have to find something that this dog is crazy about to do. And early on, what we'll do is we'll get them really fired up about, you know, picking up pigeons, getting that aggressiveness and bringing out that prey drive and really get that to the forefront. And then what we'll gradually do is I would have it's a two-person operation. And this goes for a dog who has hasn't had a bad experience or does. Then we'll have somebody get out in front with that pigeon, dead bird, or whatever really turns your dog on. And that person will just clap their hands. They're going to be out there about 25, 30 yards. Clap their hands and throw that object and let the dog go retrieve and come back. And clapping your hands at 40 yards, I mean, that's, it's so light it's not even a factor. But the whole idea is that dog is getting a little audible noise and seeing something that it wants, okay? So we'll do that for a couple of days, gradually work it in closer and closer where the dog hears that little slap and then gets to make the retrieve. And provided that's going well, we'd go, you know, back out to 40 yards, pop a blank pistol. And I like using those little acorn crimps. You know, they're a little bit of a noise, but they're not overwhelming. And pop and then throw. And then we're always watching the dog's reaction. The person who's shooting is watching, and then the person who is hanging on to the dog and then sending it for the retrieve is watching. And we want to see the dog just fired up to run out there. Now, things that you got to look for is gun shyness can be anything from when that noise takes place where the dog just blinks and then runs out and makes a great retrieve. Even that blinking is telling you that I'm a little uncertain with the noise, but I like what's out there. So it can go then progressively from blinking to kind of just turning their head away and looking the opposite direction, knowing that person's going to, you know, pop that blank pistol, to then turning their back to the, you know, the guy who's going to be throwing and shooting and then wanting to get out of there. So we even look at a blink like, okay, we're seeing some signs here. We need to get further away with that noise or back up a step to just clapping for, you know, a while. Well, gradual progression then, Billy, is blank gun over a period of days where we gradually work a little closer, always with the throw. And I always tell people, this is like if I had $100 bills out there and I clapped my hands and you came out and I gave you $100, pretty soon you'd go, hey, that's a pretty good noise, you know, that's out there. So, and we want the dog to feel the same way. But as we work in closer, we'll still watch the dog's posture. And that really what you want is that they should be just like tugging and pulling on that leash to want to get out to that person. And then when we get to the point where we can shoot the blank gun next to the dog, we go all the way back out at that 40-yard distance, and we start with a 410. And then gradually work each day in a little bit, always with that throw and retrieve. Go all the way back out again, start the 20-gauge, and then, you know, gradually go to the 12-gauge. But the key there is if you see that they're a little uncomfortable, then, you know, back down to a lighter, you know, what the dog really excelled on before. Back down. You know, get down to maybe go back to the 410 or go back to the blank gun. Because if you decide that you're going to try to accomplish this today, that's not how it works. You accomplish what the dog will let you accomplish. Professionally, think of this. Professionally, without a problem with a dog that has had no problems with the gun, we take 2 weeks to properly introduce a dog to the gun. So if you think you're going to do it on the weekend, it's really a gamble.
So with a normal dog starting from scratch, yeah, no problems, 2 weeks. So
yeah. So and then if you have a dog that has already had a problem, we're going to say a minimum of a month. But here's the problem: we could be, you know, moving right along, you know, and things are moving. All of a sudden, one day, you know, that dog might go, you know what? I was okay with the blank gun and the 410. You know, the 20 gauge, it's not going to happen. So, you know, a professional trainer, you know, probably is not going to go like, yeah, got it covered, I can take care of it. Because you never know when and if that dog is going to go, I'll tolerate up to this point, and then that's it. Now, dogs with super hard prey drive are probably a little bit better candidates, because their desire to want to go do the retrieve and that bird drive will overcome sometimes those things. If you have a dog that is a little skittish in general, a little softer temperamented, you know, they're going to question the process probably a little bit more.
We're so blessed to have great pros here at BBKO Radio. If you want to learn more about any of these guys, bbkoradio.com. A quick and easy link to all of them there. That's Tom Dockin from his famous Oak Ridge Kennels up in Northfield, Minnesota. Time for a leg stretch and a fresh cup of coffee, but I'll meet you right back here in a few minutes.
This is Eddie Salter, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Welcome to Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
You know, when you're one of the most important conservation voices on planet Earth, like DSC is, you need a pretty sharp guy to head the outfit up. And his name is Corey Mason, Executive Director of the Dallas Safari Club. Corey's going to join me this hour. I want you to get to know him a little bit. So is Gary Klein, 30-time qualifier for the Bassmaster Classic, originator, developer of Major League Fishing, Bass Fishing Hall of Famer. We're going to get a little Major League Fishing update. Also going to hear from Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie. What do you call him? Sockalay? Specs? Crappie? Crappie? That's what we're talking about. Crappie fishing and reminiscing with Waldo a little later on. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. Hey guys, for your bird dogs, there's nothing better, absolutely no better fuel on this earth than Purina Pro Plan Performance Formula. 30% protein, 20% fat, and it's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kansas, and Missouri. You know, today kicks off National Fishing and Boating Week, a celebration of two of America's favorite recreational activities. That means that free fishing days abound all across the United States, but you need to check and make sure what's happening in your area before you just take off and start fishing without a license. Example, in Oregon, today and tomorrow are free fishing days. It's a free fishing day today in Texas, Arizona, Wyoming, and lots of other states across the country. But in places like Utah, it's next Saturday, June 8th. Same story in Alabama, June 8th. And in Maryland, it's today and next Saturday, and the 4th of July. In Florida, it's a license-free saltwater fishing weekend this weekend, today and tomorrow, and a license-free freshwater fishing weekend next weekend, June 8 and 9. So you see, the free days are everywhere, but they vary state to state. So the one place to look is TakeMeFishing.org. TakeMeFishing.org, and there's a button you click right there on the homepage that'll tell you when your free fishing days are in your state. They're having a big weekend in Harford County, Maryland. FLW is there. The College Boys kicked it off yesterday. The Yeti FLW College Fishing Tournament at the Chesapeake Bay, presented by Bass Pro Shops. Today, the high schoolers are on the water. The Bass Pro Shops FLW High School Fishing Open at Chesapeake Bay, presented by Costa. It's a chance for these kids to advance to the FLW College Fishing National Championship and High School Fishing National Championship events. Launching and weighing at Flying Point Park. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by and cheer these kids on. The Bass Fishing Hall of Fame has had to move their induction ceremony this year. Scheduling conflicts. They've rescheduled this year's induction ceremonies to Thursday, October 3rd. To account for the postponement of a Bassmaster Elite Series tournament on Oklahoma's Fort Gibson Lake. The annual induction banquet was originally scheduled for Thursday, September 19th, but that falls within the makeup week that Bass had earlier set aside for competitions should an Elite Series event have to be postponed, and it was. The banquet is still being held at Johnny Morris Wonders of Wildlife Museum and Aquarium in Springfield. Have you been there? Have you seen that thing yet? Honorees this year include three stars of professional bass fishing. Mark Davis of Mount Ida, Arkansas, good friend of mine. David Fritz of Lexington, North Carolina. Davey Height of 96 South Carolina. You see him at the analyst desk on all the Bassmaster Elite live and taped coverage. Noted artist, illustrator, the late Chris Armstrong will also be inducted. And the founder of Zoom Bait Company, the late Ed Chambers. All will be inducted into the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame on Thursday, October 3rd. STAR, the largest fishing competition in Florida annually. 101 days long, family-friendly. It kicked off last Saturday, Memorial Day weekend, and ends on Labor Day, offering over $500,000 in prizes. Coming up at the Dallas Safari Club monthly meeting, it's the host of Trigicon's World of Sports Afield TV, Aaron Nielsen. His topic, today's quest for elk. Come see me at bbkoradio.com and take a look at the behemoth that he has posed up with. It's the elk of a lifetime. He's going to tell us about it. Thursday, June 20th at the Hilton DFW Lakes, right by the airport if you're in town on business that particular day. I know the folks at the DSC and Aaron would love to see you. Congratulations to Dr. Dale Rollins and the Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch out in Roby, Texas, West Texas. They've been honored by the state of Texas with a prestigious Lone Star Land Steward Award. The program recognizes private landowners for excellence in habitat management and wildlife conservation, sound natural resource management practices, and promoting long-term conservation of unique natural and cultural resources. The Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch was one of six Texas landowners honored May 16th in Austin. When you visit the Purina ProPlan offices at One Checkerboard Square, St. Louis, Missouri, one of the first things you're going to notice is that a lot of folks bring their dogs to work every day at that place. They love their dogs. They are dog people, and they are committed to feeding your dog the absolute best fuel possible. That's why there's a formula built specifically for your dog, even if they have special conditions. Purina ProPlan. Pick it up at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. I'm going to stretch my legs and maybe get a fresh cup of coffee, and then I want to meet you right back here because I've got Corey Mason, Executive Director of the Dallas Safari Club, with me, and we're going to talk about something that confuses a lot of people. Hunting. How can that be conservation? Stick around and find out.
Hi, I'm Walter Perry. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Since 2003, Bended Knee International has answered the call to take the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel to the Navajo Nation and the people of Siberia. Many have never heard the simple but magnificent message that Christ is God, who loves us so much that He died for our sins, defeated death, and rose again. The simple message of salvation brings the gift of eternal life if we'll only believe it. I am Tom Watson, President of Bended Knee International. Learn more about Bended Knee at bendedknee.org.
When I had engine trouble in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, my Ram truck dealer came to my rescue, two states away. They took the time on the phone to give clear instructions and got me rolling again in just a few hours. Plus, saved me $3,000. Lone Star Autoplex in Cleburne, Texas can help with your new and used car needs too. Even if you're in a different state. Family owned, family care. Dan and Kimberly Danley at Lone Star Cleburne. LoneStarCDJ.com.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
If you visit an outdoor show that features hunting, fishing, and outdoor products, you might just run into my friends Ron and Teresa Miskin with Buffalo Wool Company. When you do, do yourself a huge favor and stop for a visit. When I did, I made a discovery that has greatly impacted my time in the field and on the boat. Ron explained to me that his buffalo wool gloves, socks, hats, and accessories are made from the underhair. Beneath the big shaggy guard hair lies a secondary coat. These fibers are what the buffalo depends on to keep him warm. Those fibers make up the socks and gloves at Buffalo Wool Company. Hey, it's been several years, and I truthfully don't know how many pairs of buffalo wool gloves, socks, and hats that I own. I simply know that they are as important to me as my rifle. They're warmer than wool and allow me to stay in the field comfortably, no matter the weather conditions, all day long. Try them for yourself. Buffalo Wool Company offers a 100% money-back guarantee, but you'll keep them. Learn more about these super high-quality products at thebuffalowoolco.com. You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you.
This old camp house has lots of room. Come on in. This is the Dallas Safari Club's Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Conserving wildlife and the habitat that they need for survival. Come be a part of that with the DSC. Learn more at biggame.org.
Hey, I'm Billy Kinder, host of Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, and I want to thank you for joining us in this old camp house from week to week. We appreciate you very much. Also want to say thank you to our men and women in the United States military, wherever you are, home or abroad. We love you, we thank you, we pray for you regularly. And our hope is that we bring you a little slice of home, the woods and waters that you miss so dearly, and we hope you're back in real soon. I want you to meet Corey Mason, the executive director of the Dallas Safari Club. He's here in the old camp house with me today. Corey, always a pleasure.
Glad to be with you, Billy. Thank you.
And you know, we're partners now, DSC and BBKO Radio, hand in hand, marching merrily along the conservation trail. That makes me really happy.
We're super excited about it, being able to take important conservation messages to new audiences. We're thrilled to be right here.
Yeah, we very much are. And I want folks to meet you, the executive director, Corey Mason of the Dallas Safari Club, and know a little bit about your background. When you make a decision, or you sit in that boardroom and give input, or you sit in Namibia at a meeting of international conservationists, or wherever you might be, and say something, I want them to know there's a little background there. You come from a background as a biologist.
I do. I appreciate that. I spent 16 years with Texas Parks and Wildlife as a biologist in various capacities, from an on-the-ground managing habitat biologist to working directly with private landowners as well, managing their resources for the benefit of all species of wildlife. And also spent a number of years in our research program, migratory game bird program. Finished my time there with Parks and Wildlife as a director for a portion of the state. I'm a certified wildlife biologist with educational background and bachelor's and master's degrees in wildlife management. So prior to that, served as a guide, farmed and ranch background as well. So my formal and informal education has been in natural resource conservation my entire life.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been a hunter your entire life. And for folks that don't hunt and you're listening to us on this show, you're going to hear us say many times that hunting is conservation, or conservation through hunting. Let me ask you this. When you were a young man, a teenager, and you would go hunt mule deer with your dad, which I know you dearly love, those cherished hunts you've had all your life with your dad and still do, if you did not believe in your heart that hunting was going to do these animals good, was only going to do them harm, from your heart, would you have ever hunted them?
Absolutely not, and it certainly wouldn't have led to a career in wildlife conservation, again, in which I've dedicated my life to conserving natural resources across the state and the country and the globe. And I have been the direct beneficiary of seeing the value of the conservation through hunting model from a private landowner's perspective, from a provincial, from a tribal, from a national government perspective as well.
Yeah, let's talk about it just for a minute. Hunting through conservation, to someone sitting there scratching their head saying, you're going to shoot a white-tailed deer and tell me that it's good for white-tailed deer? How is that?
You know, I would back up and sort of answer that two ways. The first is to look back through time in North America specifically, to look at the model of wildlife management in North America, and understanding the crux and the fundamental basis of that is based on the hunter's role. And by that, if we look back in time when wildlife populations were at their lowest, and a point in time is 1937 in which the Wildlife Restoration Act was passed. And what that means to wildlife conservation at the state and federal level is the fact that at that point in time, sportsmen, hunters and shooters decided to self-tax themselves 11%. And the need for that is that those who were closest to the resource said we need to create a revenue stream in perpetuity forward that can ensure that dollars are there to manage our wildlife resources. Nowadays, the result of that is $797 million last year was sent to game and fish agencies for wildlife conservation. Again, that comes on the backs of hunters.
Yes.
So that's the role on the funding role. On the other side, wildlife hunting of wildlife species creates a value for those species, recognizing that a landowner, wherever they are, if they're in Texas or Arkansas or Africa, that wildlife has value. And if the wildlife doesn't have a value, it will be replaced by something, an agricultural field, a row crop, it will be a forest practice, it will be something else. It will be livestock grazed to the ground in many places in rural Africa that we see. Wildlife has value, and thus a landowner is willing to dedicate resources to manage for that species. And the value of that comes in the sense of hunting leases, hunting license, etc. So then hunting then generates a revenue to provide a value for itself. Thus, then, the habitats that sustain that wildlife species are sustained as well.
That's a very good job of telling that story. Let's talk about the science behind it. If someone sees a beautiful white-tailed buck and they think, why in the world is it legal to shoot that animal? Well, hunters didn't make the decision to shoot that animal. It's all science-based. The rule makers have studied this stuff pretty hard.
That's exactly right. So those that are in charge by state and federal statute to manage those particular species, we'll use white-tailed deer as the example that you mentioned there. State game and fish agencies are specifically, again, by state statute, designed and commissioned to provide science-based decisions. Again, these are based on statistically proven methods of sampling design, disease management, deer density, understanding competition for resources, all of those kinds of things. So as a protocol from scientific design, an output of that is a number, or if you will, a quota or harvest recommendation, in which if you look at the state of Texas where we have, you know, 5 million white-tailed deer and decreasing number of habitats on a daily basis, those deer populations must be managed in the sense of harvest must occur. It must occur to make sure that wildlife populations are healthy. And that is a product of a state agency managing wildlife resources in a sustainable way.
Think of it this way. All those cattle you see, because you don't see the white-tailed deer as much, but all those cattle that you see driving down the highway, if it was mandated by our federal government, no more shipping beef overseas, no more eating beef in America. We're through with that. And we stop taking those beef to the processor to put on our tables and in our grocery stores. They're going to continue to reproduce, and those numbers are going to grow. And pretty soon they're going to be in front of you in the road and in your front yard looking for a daisy to eat.
You know, there's a fundamental concept, and that concept is called carrying capacity, and it may be grazing capacity or animal units if you're in the livestock world. But carrying capacity is important because it is the number of units, if you will, that a land, a given area, can healthfully sustain. And as you can imagine, that changes from year to year. A year of drought can carry less deer than a year of abundant rainfall.
Yeah.
And so deer populations, just as cattle or any other species, must be managed commensurate with the amount of habitat available.
Yep.
Thus plays the role of hunting.
Yep, there you go. And that's why we hire really smart people to work at our wildlife and federal and state wildlife departments to regulate and kind of lay the rules out. Not regulate, but lay the rules out for what's best to do hunting-wise. Dallas Safari Club. Somebody hearing that for the first time says, okay, they're based in Dallas, Texas, and they go to Africa and hunt. Partially right.
That's partially right. You know, if there's a conservation need or a conservation message that needs to be portrayed, that could be in Africa, that could be in Alaska, it could be right here in Texas. It can be anywhere around the world, and our role is to make sure that the conservation message is there. We are an organization based on three tenets, and that's conservation, education, and advocacy for those.
Yeah, very good. And we would urge you to go take a look at the website, biggame.org, because we're going to be right here every week bringing the conservation conversation. You try saying that. Having a lot of fun through conservation as well. Corey, good to see you, man.
It's always good to be with you. Thank you much.
It's field trial season. You guys are having a lot of fun with your bird dogs, even though bird season has come and gone. It's a great opportunity to get out in the field with your dogs and compete against other guys and gals and see where your bird dog measures up. You work long, hard hours practicing, getting ready, working on disciplines. Why would you send your dog out there to compete without feeding them the absolute best fuel that 89% of the field trial champions across North America are fed? Purina Pro Plan. Pro Plan Performance Formula. It's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. We're going to spend the time that we have left on the show today doing a little fishing. Crappie fishing and reminiscing with my buddy Wally Marshall. Mr. Crappie Waldo and I are up next. And then it's Gary Klein, a mid-season report card on Major League Fishing. The Challenge Cup, we watch that on TV. The Bass Pro Tour, totally separate from what you see on TV. Gary sorts it all out for us in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Mike Checkett with Ducks Unlimited TV. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Do you love to crappie fish like I do? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to invite you and your family to the Crappie Expo in Hot Springs, Arkansas for crappie fanatics like you. There will be over 90 crappie fishing manufacturers and dealers selling and showing today's top crappie fishing products in the world. Get your crappie gear up to date at the Crappie Expo. Come see the top 100 crappie teams competing in the first $100,000 Mr. Crappie Invitational Tournament on Lake Hamilton, October 4th through 6th at the Game and Fish Boat Ramp facility. The world's largest crappie fry will be held Saturday, October the 5th, starting at 11 a.m. till we run out of fillets. Bring your family, enjoy fried crappie, french fried taters, hush puppies, free for everyone. Be sure to get your tickets at the Crappie Expo. Special thanks to Lucas Oil, Strike King, Lewes, Bullet Weights, Ranger Boats, B&M Poles, Pure Fishing, RV Cajun Cookers, Horns Outdoors, and H2O Sports. Crappie Expo!
Don't miss it, October 4th through 6th in Hot Springs, Arkansas. If you're a sportsman or woman, or have a hunter or fisher in the family, the WorkSharp series of knife and tool sharpeners are a must. I have WorkSharp original sharpeners in the kitchen, the backpack, the garage, even the boat. After doing the field work on several deer and hogs in the past few months, my blades are sharper than ever. Fish hooks and kitchen knives as well. The WorkSharp original knife and tool sharpener makes any knife you own shaving sharp in just minutes. Pocket knives, kitchen knives, hunting and processing knives. How about scissors, game shears, hatchets, shovels, even lawnmower blades? Yes, WorkSharp original will make them sharper than the day you bought them. Each WorkSharp sharpener is assembled by hand in Oregon by an American company that believes in local jobs and carries a 3-year warranty and the best customer service that you'll never need. Spring means turkeys, so when you visit your favorite sporting goods store, pick up a WorkSharp original knife sharpener. Or check them out online at WorkSharpTools.com. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin, and every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let's begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak? Does your name rhyme with Auld Beagle?
Do you dart in front of cars? Here's a tough one. Do you have plumage? Do you rub your body against things to mark them? Do you have webbed feet? No, I mean like a... Were you hatched? Do you have fur? I'm not talking back hair. Does your boat fly south for the winter with the other boats? Regardless of how you answer, you need to be licensed and registered because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
It is the dream of the animal rights fanatics to suppress your most natural connection to the earth. To sell you a life filled with urban fascinations. To ignore that death is life's unwavering partner. Together, creating a relationship between predator and prey that makes it possible for us all to survive. To the hunter, this world's most honest steward, these fantasies are the poisonous, perverted manipulations of social misfits who would take this planet hostage. They should startle you and awaken you to trust the hunter in your blood.
In the truck. Half the fun is just getting there. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
I'm Daniel Schneider, Major United States Air Force from Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Dawn Schneider, Petty Officer 3rd Class, United States Navy from South Bend, Indiana.
And I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Safari may be deep in the African bush, or maybe a trip with the grandkids to a neighborhood pond. No matter where you safari, we fight for you at the DSC. BigGame.org.
I was so sad when we lost our camp house storyteller, and more importantly, my friend, Ray Sasser, over a year ago now. Hard to believe he's been gone that long. But for nearly a decade, he was our camp house storyteller, outdoor writer for the Dallas Morning News for more than three decades, incredible wildlife and outdoor landscape photographer, and just a solid, solid guy. He left us with some great stories, though.
You know, we've all known practical jokers, Bill, and the two of the biggest ones I've known are Bob Parker Sr. and Bob Parker Jr. own Parker Drilling Company out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. I think these guys are the biggest practical jokers of all time. They used to have a big deer lease down in Maverick County, and they'd take their friends and clients down there. And Bobby one time bought found a Boone and Crockett size life mounted deer, full body mount, white-tailed deer. And so they'd put their clients up on a trolling rig, up on a high rack, yeah. and they'd sit this deer off in the brush, the guys would just go crazy shooting at the deer. And so it got to be such a deal that after a while, nobody would shoot at the deer. They couldn't get anybody. They had fallen for it too many times that they wouldn't do it anymore. In fact, some pretty good deer got away just because the guys wouldn't shoot, So they took their mounted deer into the shop, to their oil company shop, and had the engineers there mount a little motor in the head of the deer, kind of like the ones the game wardens now use, where from inside the truck they could make the deer's head move. They put him back out in the brush, and boy, they just shot at him all over again, just shot that poor deer full of holes. I was eating dinner with him one night, and we were all sitting around the table, and we got through, the first thing that happened to is we everybody went over to get a drink out of the cooler, and first, I wasn't going to do it, but the first guy that lifted the top of the cooler, they had a dead rattlesnake wired to the top of the cooler, so it came up out of the cooler at you as soon as you opened the top. And so we'd eaten dinner, and the cook brought two covered dishes in. Put one of them in front of me, and put the other one in front of Mr. Parker. And Mr. Parker, pulls the lid up on his, and he said, "Well, I think we got a upside down, cake up here. What do you guys got over there?" And I wasn't about to lift the cover off that, but the guy next to me lifted the cover off of it, and I had five quail live under that thing. They just took off like crazy when he opened the lid.
Was that in the house?
That was inside the house, yeah.
The fun we have in deer camp and fish camp. And anytime I'm with this guy, it's fun. It's my buddy Wally Marshall. You know him from his Mr. Crappie products. Wherever you buy your fishing stuff, look for Mr. Crappie. Jigs, rods, reels, line. He's got the whole schmear. And speaking of the whole schmear, crappie have a lot of names. Speck, sockeye, white perch, crappie, crappie.
Well, the one that I really like is the sockeye.
Yeah.
The sockeye is below I-10 in Louisiana.
So north of I-10, they're not sockeye anymore?
No. Eastern Louisiana, northeast Louisiana, they're white perch.
Okay.
And then around like Shreveport, they call them crappie. Some East Texas, they call them white perch too, right there in that area. And then when you get like Florida, they're called specks. Yeah. Because I tell all the guys from Florida, the reason they call them specks is because they're not big enough to be called a crappie. But then you get above like Georgia, the Carolinas, it's crappie.
Right.
They say crappie every day. I mean, in here it's crappie. It's not spelled like that. It's spelled like crappie.
Yeah.
So you get further up into Pennsylvania, New York, they've got strawberry bass, they've got different speckled perch, they call them, and especially up in the Great Lakes area, they're called speckled perch.
So when you go visit these different regions, you need to know what you're talking about. When you walk in the tackle shop down there in Nolens, you need to ask them where the sockeye bite is.
Well, the deal is, I was going to take this guy crappie fishing, and he was from east over around Monroe, Louisiana, and he came over here, and we was fishing, and about halfway through the morning, he said, "When are we going to start catching those crappie you talk about?" I said, "Well, that's what we've been catching all morning." He goes, "No, these are white perch."
When I went to college, I went to play football at TCU, and one of my good friends there, Robert Hoot, was from outside the Houston area. You know, he was raised down there where they got that mayhaw jelly, back there in them swamps. And he kept telling me about how they love to catch those white perch back home.
Oh, yeah.
And I told him, I said, "Well, the big thing around my house is crappie. We like to catch crappie." And after about 3 months, we finally figured out we're talking about the same fish.
Oh, I'm telling you, when it comes to that dinner table deal, it's all for one and one for all.
Colors, does one region of the United States, like the southeastern United States, Florida and the Carolinas or Georgia, say, is there a predominant color over there? Is what's been working at home generally going to work there?
Pretty much colors work nationwide. It just has to do with water clarity. You get a lot of clear water lakes. You got to go with your natural bait fish, your whites and your silvers and your light chartreuses or whatever. But like here in Texas, most of our lakes are pretty dingy. Anything with chartreuse on it will catch a crappie. But there are some lakes here that are pretty clear that you can see a dime at 5 to 6 feet. So you got to go with that natural color. It looks just like a shad. I've got a color called Glimmer Blue, and I've got Salt and Pepper, some of these clear baits, and I got a hologram chartreuse bait that is just awesome in that color because the little specks of hologram in it, you can turn it different ways and it looks different colors, So it's really cool to go out and catch a limit on crappie on something that you designed.
Oh, I bet it is. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. I was out at Lake Fork, and I ran into your buddy Kevin Van Dam, and we're leaning on the boat just visiting, and he said, "Where is Wally Marshall?" And I said, "Wally Marshall's in Hugo, Oklahoma, fishing this week."
He said he needs to be on Lake Fork catching these slabs.
Oh, I know it, man, because them bass fishermen get out there, and those big crappie on Fork will hit those big bass baits. Right. They hit the crankbaits because white crappie is coming back on Lake Fork, and you can catch them on big crankbaits.
Yeah. You know, I was on Ray Roberts one time when it was a brand new lake. You remember the crappie fishing up there when that booger was new. Whoo! I was on Ray Roberts, and I was bass fishing. I had a huge buzz bait on, skimming the top of that water one morning, and the crappie were tearing that thing up.
I'm telling you, when Ray Roberts was brand new in Texas up there by Denton, it lies between Pilot Point, Sanger, Denton, Gainesville area, for people that want to come to Texas and fish a great crappie lake, when that sucker was brand new and had that green timber in it, and I was guiding there with live bait on those standing trees, that line would cut into that bark, would reach out and grab them hooks. Man, I bet I tied on 50 hooks a day, you know. But we literally just, it wouldn't, 2 hours you'd have 50.
Yeah, you know, and it wasn't that bad last summer when we were up there. I recommend we go hook up to the boat.
I'm ready to go, Billy.
Gary Klein is talking Major League Fishing next.
This is the Pig Man, and we're about to shoot some swine. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about shooting some pigs with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Hey guys, don't lose that brag fish today. We've all done it. A weak hook set, a late sweep with the rod, giant jumpers that throw that heavy jig back in our faces. The folks at Trapper Tackle have solved the lost fish issue. For the first time in forever, there's meaningful innovation in the fish hook. The Trapper Tackle iCast Best in Show winner 2 years back to back has a unique patented design that locks your catch until you have her in your hands. It's this one-of-a-kind locking system that keeps your plastics in place, cast after cast after cast, too. Trapper Tackle makes hooks for all finesse, live bait, and plastics presentations. Treble hooks for your hard baits, too. When you first take a look at Trapper Tackle hooks, you'll probably scratch your head. When you pose up with that behemoth that didn't get away, you'll smile ear to ear. Trapper Tackle and Bill Lewis have partnered a legend with a state-of-the-art hook design to produce the Rattle Trapper. You need some of those, too. Get them at TrapperTackle.com. Lock them in and load the boat. TrapperTackle.com. Isn't it time to check that South Dakota pheasant hunt off of your bucket list? Isn't it about time to step back in time to a simpler era when the cackle of a mature rooster is followed by the smell of smoke from your barrel and maybe a chuckle or two from your buddies after that oh-so-close miss? Spring Creek Hunting and Fishing Resort just north of Pierce, South Dakota is that place in time where taking good care of our guests is the priority every day, year after year. At Spring Creek, South Dakota, we know that a warm and welcome lakeside cabin with private bath and big screen TV is just what you need after enjoying our 35,000 plus acres of pheasant country. When you come stay with us at Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort, you can expect the best pheasant hunting that South Dakota has to offer, along with the best bed, the best steak, and the best time of your life. Talk to us about private charter jet service and come see us at springcreeksd.com. The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the metal can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with 6 full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too. Dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Casseria, Cordoba Doves will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Casseria.
The duck lodge is in Corrientes,
We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per D's in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at J.J. Castelleria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caceria. Can see me in Argentina.
Sometimes our office is a bass boat. Tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
While you enjoy a day at the range, we stand on Capitol Hill and firmly say no to those who would rip that right and that gun from you. We are the DSC, and we're at biggame.org.
The phone number here in the old camp house is 1-877-820-2256. 1-877-820-BBKO. The website, bbkoradio.com. Like Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, bbkoradio.com. Drop by. Spend a little time at the camp house website. Drop a note. Let us know where you hear the show. My friend Gary Klein has qualified for 30 Bassmaster Classics. He's one of the founders of Major League Fishing. He's having a great season out on the water, and he's a member of the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame. Gary, thank you for taking a little time out for us today from the Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour just outside of Springfield, Missouri, Table Rock Lake. And let's see here, it's June 1st, so that means you've probably put about 78,000 miles on your truck so far this year.
Well, Billy, I tell you, it's been a fun spring, and yeah, we have traveled quite a bit.
Yes, you have, and I want to talk to folks a little bit about this phenomena that is Major League Fishing. First of all, I had a big scare a couple of weeks ago. I haven't missed a single episode since the first of the year. I have followed, and if I can't be there on Saturday at 1 p.m. Central, then I'm there later that evening. You know, I catch it, I record it, and I'm back there that evening or the next day or whatever. And a couple of Saturdays ago, there's the intro, here's my show, I've got my popcorn ready, and a thunderstorm rolled in, and my satellite signal, yeah, for about an hour. So thank goodness there's a repeat on Sunday afternoons. I caught that one, and I'm still up to date, so it's all good. It's so addicting. As a fan, it's got to be just as addicting to you anglers.
Well, it really is. You know, the concept, the tournament format that Major League Fishing uses is beyond anything that I can explain. As a veteran competitor of conventional tournament fishing, of course, everybody that knows me, that's how I was raised. But when you step up and you compete with the Major League Fishing format, it is amped up 10 times. I don't think I've ever been as physically and mentally drained at the end of a day, competing under this format. It's phenomenal.
And I've been there in person. I've seen you guys coming in off the lake and the emotion in Conroe, Texas, when Stephen Browning lands a 3-pounder with literally 5 seconds left in the round to put him into the top 10 on Sunday. The emotion. I watched you, I think it was Takahiro that you kicked out catching a fish on TV 3 or 4 weeks ago, just on like your last cast. I mean, you were down to it. There's just so much drama, and it's more like watching college football or the NFL than bass fishing.
Well, that's one of the really neat things about this format is it creates so many moments during the course of the competition that are captured, where before those moments were lost. And the only person that experienced those moments was the angler itself. And with the Major League Fishing format, having the opportunity to have a Major League Fishing official in the boat with you with a score tracker actually feeding you every fish that's being caught and the anglers that are making the moves and where you stand and where you fall. And then they keep reminding you of the cut weight and they keep reminding you of how much time you have left to go catch a fish to gain that position back. It just amps it up tenfold to where what this format has done for me as an angler, it's forced me to get better. It's forced me to make quicker, cleaner decisions on the water because we have a group of hammers. And now that you have 40 anglers on the score tracker at one time competing for the same positions that you're competing for, you don't really have the opportunity to make a poor decision that lasts very long, or you'll fall down in the standings. So it's heads-up competition. It's in your face. And I think like Marty Stone says best, it makes bad look really bad, and it makes good look really good.
It absolutely is thrilling. It's truly thrilling bass fishing. And you guys are just 2 weeks away now on television for the Challenge Cup, crowning your champion. So, guys, if you haven't tuned in or you've been sporadic, do not miss it. It's must-see TV this weekend, next weekend, and then the championship in 2 weeks. Now, totally separate from what we see, the Challenge Cup on television is the Major League Fishing Pro Tour. It's brand new for 2019. You guys have just wrapped up Stage 6 on Table Rock, and now there you are back on Table Rock again because of horrific flooding in Oklahoma.
Exactly. Yeah, we were forced to make a management decision to actually do a repeat back on Table Rock. We had to cancel our Grand Lake event due to the historic flooding that the Oklahoma Arkansas area has experienced. And our footprint our needs are quite different than a conventional event. We just can't show up at a boat ramp and go fishing. So it was the best choice for us to make to go back to Table Rock. We could not, at such a short notice, put together another venue.
Yeah, and for those of you that are saying, well, Aaron Martin's just going to go out there and win this thing again, he did just a few weeks ago, hold on just a minute. It's a whole different lake right now than it was when you guys were there a few weeks ago.
Oh, exactly. That's one of the really cool things that I think we'll be able to show our viewers is when an angler talks about fish transitioning, when an angler talks about pattern changing, when we talk about fish migrating, you know, from a spawn, post-spawn into a summer mode, you have to change your techniques and your approaches. And that right there is going to be probably the first opportunity in the history of this sport to be able to observe back-to-back events within 2 weeks apart on the same body and actually observe those changes that we often talk about.
You betcha. This is going to be fun to watch as it unfolds there on Table Rock again. Then you have one other event, Stage 8, and then the very first ever Red Crest Championship, which is going to be in Wisconsin this year. When will that be and where?
It's the third week in August, and it'll be on out of La Crosse, Wisconsin, there on the upper part of the Mississippi River.
And that is the Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour Championship. If you guys listening to us in that neck of the woods can clear your calendar and be there for this event. It's history in the making, Gary.
Oh, I tell you, it's really fun. And even the anglers that don't qualify, we qualify our 30 top points anglers out of the group of 80. The rest of us will be up there for the week. So it'll be a good opportunity to meet and greet and come and hang out with, some of your favorite anglers.
You betcha. And by the way, if you have not been able to make it out to the Bass Pro Tour in person and check it out, which is just so much fun, you can actually watch the action all over the lake on your smartphone. A lot of us do all the time with the live stream of these Bass Pro Tour Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour tournaments. But you guys are actually rolling tape on these, and we're going to be able to watch this series this fall on TV.
That is correct, yes. All of the Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour events are two-hour programs that will be aired in the fourth quarter on the Discovery Channel.
Gary, Father's Day is coming up. I know I've met your precious daughters, and I know they're very proud of Pop. Be safe on the road, and happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you very much, Billy. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about something that I have a passion for, competitive angling. Major League Fishing's amped it up, and hey, congratulations on the program now that's on SiriusXM. That's something that I have on my channel, and I'll be able to listen to the program all across the country. Congratulations.
Hey, Gary, thank you. Hey, you can even listen in the boat these days, the deer blind, with your daughters. Hey, we're completely out of time.
I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time that we've had together in this old camp house today. And I sure hope you'll meet me right back here next time around. Hey, do come spend a little time with us at bbkoradio.com this week. Anything you heard on the show, yeah, you can see it there, an expanded version more than likely. We have a quick link to the hunting and fishing laws and rules of every state. You might want to check out my blog and definitely upload a picture. It's real easy to do from your handheld, your laptop, your pad. We want to see what you're up to and put it on the bragging board at bbkoradio.com. See you next time. Till then, may God bless you and your bunch. Thank you.